You're tuned in to Steve Megatron on Altered Geek.
Hello and welcome to Altered Geek. I'm your host, Steve Megatron Phillips, and joining me in this episode is...
TF2 and Mike.
Mike the Birdman Dawn.
So, after our very serious conversation about collecting last week, which did very well in the download realm,
we actually got we had some comments on Twitter about that too. So thank you to Jesus, I think his name was, sent us a little bit of feedback.
Scanner 51.
Yeah.
Yep. Which I'll probably read his. We actually got what's amazing is Sunday was our biggest download day.
Yay!
For that. Well, Friday was pretty decent too. Well over like 350 on Friday, 140 on Saturday, and 460 on Sunday. So, not too shabby. So, have quite a few things that can be brought up in this episode. One of them would be Scanner 51 actually happened to have quite a bit of feedback. I'm probably going to do just a feedback episode later this week, which I'll probably just run through solo, but because I have a lot of feedback over the last few weeks that I'm going to go through. But Scanner 51, his comments on collecting, he says, "Hey guys, just wanted to say that I really enjoyed the show on collecting that you guys did. It was great. My history with collecting started with Hot Wheels." He says, "I got tons now that my daughter plays with on the track I got her. I got into hardcore collecting with what else? Star Wars toys. I was young and still living at home, so I bought and bought and bought. Then I got married, and then we had a kid, so my Star Wars collecting has been reduced to barely nothing. Just a few action figures now. I go to Star Wars conventions, so I still get some stuff. I still keep the signed ones out and displayed. I still collect Batman and Superman, DCAU stuff mainly. The main thing I still get now are comics. I buy ones I know that I will be able to get signed. My wife is nice enough to let me, I can go to local cons to do that. He's got 59 plus signed books now and some posters, and his kid, who was 4 recently, used the word collecting when talking about toys from McDonald's, so guess they start younger these days. He says, also, I think the Grey Ghost needs to be brought to Gotham as that hero that also inspires Bruce for, because we're talking about that, I think, briefly, about the show. So, yeah.
Speaking of Star Wars, I just saw on Facebook an image. It was a image capture of a series of tweets on Twitter. Apparently, Mark Hamill's son is having some franchise confusion. Have you guys seen this?
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
What?
You haven't seen this?
No.
Oh my god.
This is beautiful. Did he find some Star Trek figures and think they were Star Wars?
No, he says it's a caption. It's a picture of the Enterprise where Nathan Hamill says, "Happy 40th, Star Wars. Star Wars 40th. Mark's like, "We need to talk, son. Franchise confusion." And Shatner chimes in, "Let the boy talk. Welcome to Starfleet, Nathan."
Shatner is the man.
Actually, speaking of Star Wars was actually in the news this past week. One of the biggest guys in the collecting realm of Star Wars is a guy named Steve Sansweet. Turns out a buddy of his ripped off $200,000 worth of his stuff.
Shit.
This past week from Rancho Obi-Wan, I think is what he calls his place or whatever.
Oh, I remember that guy, yeah.
Yeah, they tracked down some of his missing stuff. They tracked down, I think it was like a rocket firing Boba Fett, which is an incredibly rare prototype item. There were not very many made at all. They're able to recover that, though I think the dude is still out the money. So now there's people literally bounty hunting for Steve Sansweet's stuff.
We did something I don't remember when it was. We were watching. It wasn't the People versus George Lucas. It was. We were doing something for MYR or GCR or something or other. And I remember watching a documentary about Steve Sansweet and Rancho Obi-Wan. Or maybe it was. Maybe he was featured in a specific story. Okay, I remember. Yeah, I remember that. And I can't remember where the hell I saw him first, though.
But yeah, that's kind of sucks that it, and this is a guy that he'd known for like 20 years who ripped off his stuff. I mean, that's kind of a douchebaggy thing to do, first off.
Yeah, very much
but,
so.
But still, just
yeah.
Yeah, I thanks for the share on that. I saw that graphic and that's actually pretty humorous.
Hashtag franchise confusion.
I know they're talking about tying up the franchise after with episode 9, and that they're going to kind of put a bow on the Skywalker.
And that's fine. That's
part of the story. Well, I know that they're supposed to sometime this month. I don't know during what event, but there was talks that they're going to reveal another one of those standalone movies that kind of goes between. And I personally hope that it's Obi-Wan.
Yeah, ditto.
See, I don't know, though, if it's going to be an Obi-Wan movie. I don't know if I'm excited for that. Because, honestly, for me, and say what you... Anybody can say what they want about the prequels. The prequels, to me, were mostly Obi-Wan's story. It was Obi-Wan and Anakin. So, unless they're going to tell a story of Obi-Wan before he became a Jedi, I'm not sure if I want an Obi-Wan standalone.
I want a Boba Fett movie.
I want an Obi-Wan movie, but taking place between 3 and 4, kind of explaining, you know, what the heck he did with that 20-year span of time.
Well, they kind of cover that on Star Wars Rebels, kind of.
A little, but they don't really.
Yeah, but also at the same time, if I had another Star Wars movie, having another non-Jedi one is the way I'd love to go. I mean, we're getting the Han Solo movie.
Mm-hmm.
But I just think if we had, like, a straight-up action movie with Boba Fett as the bounty hunter and maybe dive into a little bit of the Mandalorian lore, I think that could be really cool. Maybe have it like a cool crime movie or something.
Jabba the Hutt. The movie.
Well,
that would be
if
awesome.
If you had a movie based on a Hutt crime family, that could actually be really friggin' badass if done right. Good.
Walk on Tiga Solo.
Like Sopranos in space. Man, sign me the hell up.
Yeah, I was just about to say that. The only way I would be super interested in a Boba Fett movie is if it was Bloodlines. The trade Bloodlines and the two-part trade about him and Django. That would be the only way that I would be interested in Blood Ties. That's what it was.
You mean the one where he fights Vader?
I think so, yeah.
That's ridiculous, but it would be kind of cool to see.
But I'm saying, like, I would for me to actually
care.
Because before I read that two-volume series about Boba Fett, I've never cared about Boba Fett. Ever since I was a kid, I never cared about that guy. He was just, you know...
The guy in the cool armor.
The guy with five lines.
The guy with the cool armor, the guy that got eaten by the Sarlacc. I didn't really give a crap until after I read Blood Ties. And
it wasn't until the expanded universe gave him a personality.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, that would be the only way I'd be interested in a Boba Fett movie. I don't know. I'd love to see them adapt the current Marvel stuff for Darth Vader. That would be awesome. The Darth Vader series that Kieran Gillian did, that would be cool.
Yeah, I'd agree. Or if you could give me a war movie like they did with Rogue One, kind of, but based on Republic Commandos, if it could be like a Band of Brothers, but with clones, I'd be so down for that. That's more of a TV show.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm hoping that once episode 9 is out, we do go... I mean, obviously, Disney is not going to, you know, not do anything more Star Wars after Episode 9, but yeah, they need to move away. They need to do something else with the universe and not just continually tell the Skywalker story.
Yeah.
See, that's the only thing I care about is the Skywalker story. I mean, I like the Jedi, and I like, the films we've gotten thus far, but like, I didn't need Rogue One to enrich the stealing of the plans. The only thing that was good about that movie, in my opinion, was the end piece where they connected the two films of Rogue One and Episode 4 with Vader.
I don't know, I really enjoyed Rogue One. I found it a bit hard to follow at times, but I liked how there was almost no Jedi involvement. That's, I think, really sold me on it.
So it was all about the because I haven't seen it yet. I'm watching it next week for the M-Wire episode we're doing. But it's one of those things where, so Rogue One is essentially nothing but the military stuff.
It's just an action movie.
Yeah.
With Star Wars.
Yeah, it's kind of like Gotham. It's just Law and Order with Batman characters.
Pretty much. Same analogy. So speaking of movies, since we're in that realm,
yes.
Should we talk about, since our last episode was about Power Rangers, should we talk about that aspect?
Yes, actually. So there's been quite a lot of discussion going around, is the movie going to get a sequel or not? And if you look at the movie's take at the box office, wasn't exactly blowing anybody away. However, though, the toy sales may be the saving grace for this. It was voted, or not voted, it's data, it's sales data, shows it went up something like 122%, plus with Power Rangers Ninja Steel airing on Nickelodeon right now, though it's in hiatus right at this moment. There's a good chance the toy sales could be the swing for this, and we could still see a sequel to this, even if it's lower budget. I am so for this, it's ridiculous. I mean, I saw the movie, like I said, a little while ago. I was a huge fan of it. A sequel, even if lower budget, would still be fantastic.
The film was okay. I didn't find myself that blown away with it.
It was better than I thought it was going to be because of the fact that they basically used all new Rangers. It's not okay. Yes, it is. I mean, all new actors for the Rangers. They didn't just bring back anybody that's still alive. That was, you know, the original Rangers from 20 years ago.
It was going to be a reboot. It just
I understand.
I think the thing that I hated the most of it was the kind of, I don't know. I didn't like the way that the suits. Like, I don't know, like how they would morph, and then I didn't like the bit about Goldar, like, or the Zord. I hated the look of all of that, so it was kind of hard for me to, but and I did like the Cranston that. Zordon.
Yeah, and the thing of it is for me, it wasn't really, that movie was not really about the Zords, it was more so about them these are five strangers. This is not, you know, five teenagers with attitude that were all friends like they were almost 25 years ago at this point. These are five people that barely know each other. So I liked that part of the story, and I think that was good. The Zords and stuff didn't really impress me. The suits themselves, they're Iron Man ripoffs, but it is what it is. They're all right, but they just look like different variations of Iron Man armor to me. But it's one of those things where the movie didn't make me mad at all when I was watching it. It didn't, you know, that's not how that's supposed to be. Or that's because it didn't rely on the legacy of the franchise at all. Now, if a sequel does happen, would I like to see certain legacy bits come in? Sure, as long as it makes sense for the story.
Yeah, because ultimately, if they do a sequel, my guess is the bad guy's probably going to be Lord Zedd.
Yep, yeah. They've already kind of insinuated that, and they're going to have Tommy Oliver in the next one.
Which could be really awesome, especially like considering how far they're willing to go with the redesigns. Even if they had a nod to the classic Lord Zedd, Mm-hmm. He could look friggin' amazing and scary, which could be really awesome.
Yeah, absolutely.
It'll probably be them versus Lord Zedd and Serpentera if they were going to go totally legacy with it, which could be awesome, but hopefully it happens. I guess we'll have to wait and see 2 or 3 years down the line. But actually, speaking of weird stuff, if you guys want to watch more of this stuff, I've been watching the Japanese series called Q-Ranger, and I just found out they do crossover movies now with like another Japanese series called Kamen Rider.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I've heard of that.
And I can't. They can make a movie on like a shoestring budget. Sure, it's still them in the rubber suits and everything, but it looks so damned cool. I watched the trailer for it tonight, and I think it comes out this summer. Mm. Man, I wish I stuck with this Sentai stuff years ago. What the hell have I been missing out on for like 20 years? It's like rediscovering a love of like a franchise. Like, I didn't realize how much of a nerd I was with this stuff. I started watching Power Rangers SPD today, actually. I think I like this stuff more than I like Transformers, and I know that's blasphemy right now, but I don't know. There's just something about this franchise. I'm so glad I got back into it right now.
Prepare yourself for oblivion.
I go through phases of what I like more at times. Right now, it's Star Trek.
Yeah, it just depends. It depends on what I am feeling that I want to watch or what I feel that I want to enjoy. We all go through these phases. Every now and then, just before you started doing all your PR and Sentai stuff, Mike, I just wrapped up watching Dino Thunder for the umpteenth amount of time.
That is the best theme song since the original.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's a ringer on my phone. That's how much I love it.
SPD is good. SPD is very good. But I'll go back and I'll watch certain episodes from something. Like I commented on Facebook the other day. Our friend, Candace, who's friends with Gary Chalk, she posted a picture of her cat. And I'm like, feral scream. I was like, I have to now go watch that Beast Wars two-parter. It just depends on what hits me at what time of the day and what mood as far as what I want to watch and stuff or pay attention to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, I've been going back and watching random episodes of all the various Star Trek series and watching the films, just depending on what strikes me, depending on the day. Just because I've been playing that Star Trek Online, which I've slowed down on quite a bit. But I'm still playing it as, like, the other factions, and I still am unlocking more ships, and it's still a lot of fun with a lot to do, but it's got me reacquainted with the series to watch a lot of it.
Speaking of Star Trek, there's this really awesome thing. It'll be coming out later on this year. I forget the company who makes it. I think it's called Morpheus or Morpheus. They're producing another Star Trek RPG, and it comes in a damn Borg cube.
That's cool.
So it's got slots for all the rule books, all the different dice. It's even got room for miniatures, character sheets, pencils. I think it's worth something like $500 or something. It's a really nice set. I'm so gonna kiss some ass to try and get it for Terrible Warriors, but I need to get back into Star Trek because something like that would definitely swing me right back in the direction. I know there was like a Star Trek board game that I've...
There's been two of them because I've played them both with a friend of mine that used to actually live in Michigan before he moved for a job. And I played them both. And I can't remember what they're called right now, but... I'm trying to...
I know Ryan recommended them for the holiday gift guide this year.
There's what is it? There's Star Trek Expeditions, which I think I've played.
Ascendancy or something?
It's one where you actually have the miniatures of the ships.
Yeah, I can't remember.
I know they've got Star Trek Settlers of Catan, which I have not played. I think it's Fleet Captains.
Or something like that.
I'm getting ready to look at the art. Yeah, I've played Fleet Captains. That's what it is. And you build out the universe. It's very much like Catan and how it's like how the pieces are set up. But you kind of build your own crew, and then they have these stands where you have the various starships. And you know, you get the classic Enterprise, you get the Excelsior, the Sovereign, you know, Enterprise E, the Enterprise D, the Enterprise A, the Defiant, the, you know, the Reliant, the Voyager. So I mean, there's like all kinds of stuff, and I think it's like against the Klingons, and then they have like an expansion that's for the Romulans.
Yeah.
I think there were plans on doing other generational ships as well. But they're like pewter ships, which is kind of cool. I know it was pricey. He bought it though, so he was like, "Hey, I want to try and play it." And I was like, "Sure."
I think it's Gale Force 9. I want to say. Is the company that makes it, and they make some really good board games.
Speaking of Star Trek, there was a article I saw the other day from, funny enough, Canadian designer, Dave Delisle of Dave's Geeky Ideas, came up with a concept tent that resembles a Star Trek TNG Federation shuttlecraft.
Mm-hmm.
And it literally, it like he's got the graphics printed on it and everything, and it the back end opens up just like a shuttle, and the front end sticks out, and it raises up, and it's got the, you know, Enterprise shuttlecraft on the side, and then the it actually fully looks like it, but the thrusters on the side is where the tent actually folds up into on both sides, like in it pieces together, and it becomes like one thruster between the two sides to actually form the, you know, to put the tent away.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy.
I think Mike shared that to my wall this week, and I thought it was pretty badass looking.
Yeah, I saw that, and I was like, that is awesome. I would buy something like that. So I think we'll move into the film realm again, because I saw this earlier today. Sony is to provide clean versions of its movies on home entertainment. They announced that they're releasing 24 of their movies with a clean version available at no charge for films purchased on iTunes, Vudu, and Fandango Now. These edited for content versions already exist on airplanes and for broadcast. And now Sony is making them available for anyone who wants a version of the movie that's been adapted for a wider audience. So basically like the TV version, that's, you know, it's edited out the nudity, the swearing, the, you know, extensive things that might be on the actual thing, which is kind of nice because then it makes it so that any movie can be readily accessible by family people and younger people. Although it may ruin some of the movies.
I'm curious to see how this is going to pan out. I mean, I think it's a good idea. I'm surprised it hasn't been done sooner.
The first thing I can think of is
Yippee-ki-yay, Mr. Falcon.
I'll get to that in a minute, too. That's an entirely different topic that I've got coming up. But these clean versions include 50 First Dates, Battle of the Year, Big Daddy, Captain Phillips, Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, Easy A, Elysium, Ghostbusters 1 and 2, Goosebumps, Grown Ups, Grown Ups 2, Hancock, Inferno, Moneyball, Pixels, Spider-Man 1, 2, 3, Amazing Spider-Man 1, 2, Step Brothers, Talladega Nights, and White House Down.
How the hell did it clean up Step Brothers?
I don't know. It's got to like cut 45 minutes out of the movie.
So, yeah, here is the director's cut, which is about 2.5 minutes long.
Well, what's funny is there's like a 2-hour Adam Sandler movie on Netflix, which there are like 3 or 4 of those in this list, that I tried to edit like I ripped it and then I tried to edit this movie down to cut out the nudity and the extensive swearing, and it's like a 2-hour movie and I hit it down to 45 minutes. But you could still understand the story, which was hilarious. Which shows you that the story means nothing for those movies.
Pretty much, yeah.
So, but yeah, it says the weird thing about this list is that the only R-rated movies on the list are Elysium and Step Brothers. For the other 22, nothing prevents an underage viewer from just buying the unedited version and watching it.
Mm-hmm.
So... I mean, I like the idea of them selling clean versions, or at least having them, you know, on the DVDs or Blu-rays or whatever as an added feature, kind of like how they include commentary tracks, just so that it's you know, if you want to watch it in front of your family and they're younger, you know, you can get away with watching the movie without having to worry about something that you may not necessarily want them exposed to.
Mm-hmm.
But it also gives you the option of the other way. So, like, I kind of get it, but there are third-party... I guess they're doing it to circumvent the third-party companies like Clearplay and VidAngel from self-editing the movies. So they're doing it themselves to make the extra buck.
See, here's my question about this. Are these specific videos going to have a separate release of that, say, clean version on it, or are they just re-releasing it and they're going to have an option on the movie like they used to? Would you like full screen or widescreen? Because I would almost rather have one new re-release instead of having to buy a separate movie just to have a clean version of it, where you have one release that has the option on it already.
It says that they're planning on releasing these 24 movies with a clean version available at no extra charge for the films purchased on iTunes,
okay.
Vudu, and Fandango Now. So if you bought them on iTunes or any of those other two services, you get the edited for content as well.
Okay.
Which,
that's good.
Which is cool.
Yeah, that's cool.
However, there is the good kind of clean edits, which is this. And then there's the stupid types of edits, which
are the Mr. Falcons of the world.
Funny enough, it's the same station did that.
I like to think that the technology and the dubbing has come a long way since then.
Well, this isn't dubbing.
I don't care. That's still an amazing line, though.
It is.
And the Scarface one is just as good.
I haven't seen the Scarface one, but the I didn't even know the one on Die Hard 2 existed until you showed it to me, Dodd, and I couldn't stop laughing.
Look up the clean version of Scarface. There's a great line. I'm not going to give you the dirty version, but... it goes, where did you get that scar, tough guy? Eating pineapple? The one in the real film is a lot more raunchy. And then...
oh, I get the idea.
Yeah, and then there's another great line where it's like, this town's like a great big blank just waiting to get blanked. The TV yep. version, this town is like a great big chicken ready to get plucked. Okay, that kind of makes sense, but still, okay.
It's pretty close.
It's close enough.
Or
there's a scene that they cut out of the movie where it references a scene in Vice City where the guy gets attacked with a chainsaw. In the edited for TV version, it's like they take a 3-minute scene and cut it down to about 10 seconds. It's like, oh, well, they certainly cut the guts out of that, literally.
So, I think another really good one is Beverly Hills Cop 2. The edited version of that is hilarious.
What did they do to it? Because I don't know if I've seen
the
edited.
Mostly just language and, like,
yeah, nudity, it's yeah, it's language and nudity for the most part.
Which they did that, too, in another Eddie Murphy film, The Trading Places.
Yep.
Where he and Dan Aykroyd were in it. I was like kind of in shock when I saw the actual movie that I rented, and because I wanted to watch the movie at one point, and I remember the TV version.
Yeah.
And then I was like, whoa, where did these extra scenes come from in this length? Like, and I was like, I didn't even know these were in the film for like a number of years, and I was like happy in my like ignorance of the film. And then I get to see that, and I was like, yeah, I could have done without that.
Yeah, but it's like, I don't remember, and I'm not going to say the regular version, but it's like in the scene where they walk up to the Playboy Mansion and Eddie just steps over the... Let me just step over your all, you know, and it's like, oh, God, it's just so funny how they, and I love that they did that for clean versions, that they went for the comedy more than they did just to bleep it out.
Well, I kind of wonder how they do that now. I mean, do they just ask them to do a different take now, or do they bother adding in their own dubs now? I think they still do
ADR. I think because unless the actor wants to do it when they're filming it as an alternate take.
And really now with what cable channels we have,
most of them allow everything.
Unless it's SF or some other more grotesque.
Unless it's the seven dirty words, you can
get. Yeah, I mean, TNT will bleep something, or sometimes they'll just blank over it. Same thing with TBS. It doesn't matter, though, on FX or AMC almost. FX, I know it doesn't matter, because FX had the very first original television series that they did back in 15 years ago in 2002, The Shield. First cable provider, cable channel network that ever said the S word without it being bleeped.
Now, was that after 10 o'clock or before 10 o'clock?
10 o'clock.
Okay.
Right at 10.
So, the
it's
filming...
It's kind of amazing how far television has come when you really kind of look at it, how things are going now. Because I know there's a channel up here in Canada. I can't remember which one, so don't quote me on this verbatim. But they want to show Game of Thrones. And I'm very curious to see how they're going to get around... not just the nudity in the first and second seasons, how they're going to get around some of the language, too. And I remember when I was a kid, they tried to show The Sopranos uncensored, and censored, on prime time. Watching the series for the first time now. And I'm just like, how the hell did they try? This must have been butchered.
This kind of stuff always surprises me when any of the HBO shows or any of the Showtime shows end up on actual broadcast, but they obviously have to bleep it out and stuff. The same thing with, and this isn't edited for content or anything else, it might be edited for time, but it's like, why is anyone paying for the WWE Network when we can wait a year or so and WrestleMania 33 will show up on NBC? It makes no damn sense to me whatsoever.
Oh, so the film in question is none other than Back to the Future.
Ooh.
TBS.
What the hell could you cut out of that? Besides, I think the guy says asshole once.
Nope. Not even anything. Nothing that this was strictly from like a politically correct standpoint. Or.
Okay, now I'm curious. What did they change?
It says that upon re-airing of the film, some fans of the film noticed that an important part was missing from the broadcast, and it was one of the major parts in the film where Doc Brown gets killed by Libyan terrorists after he would not agree to make an atomic bomb. So the protagonist...
Let's see if you bastards can do 90.
Nope. It's something even more subtle and stupid. Where Marty McFly writes the letter to Doc Brown in an attempt to save his life when he goes back to the future, kind of thing. It says, on the night that I go back in time, you will be shot by terrorists. Marty says in the original movie, you know, please take whatever precautions are necessary to prevent this terrible disaster. But a lot of fans have seemed to notice that an important word to the plot of the movie was missing when it re-aired. And that would be the word terrorist.
Oh my God.
And they dubbed it out too.
So what? So they just said you'll be killed by Libyans?
They just said you will be shot. Please take whatever precautions are necessary. Like, it doesn't even say by who.
Hmm.
like not Libyan terrorists, not terrorists. Like, how is it?
I can see why, but it's kind of
well. It doesn't even say Libyan terrorists. It just says terrorists in the paper. Mm. Like, I could see if it said Libyan terrorists, but it doesn't. It just says terrorists.
I think they should have left that in. I mean, terrorist is a general catch-all term for a bad guy. Don't necessarily need his nationality in there. But even, that's maybe a little too PC, maybe.
Yeah, and that's kind of... Yeah, they digitally erased it, though. And I was kind of like, why would they... Like, it's not even, like, specifically saying, you know, like, Libyan terrorists or Islamic terrorists or, you know, something in that degree where it's, like, very specific. Just as terrorists, not... Like, I know earlier in the film they say Libyans.
Mm.
But... Like, that was physically said by Doc.
Yeah.
But it was made in the 80s, so you kind of have to take that with a grain of salt. Like, it's not going to be... It's not going to be, like, up to, the, you know, oh, we can't say that nowadays because it might offend somebody. You know, mm-hmm. it, when it was just very vaguely saying terrorists on the thing.
Yeah, it was just... At that point, terrorist is just a catch-all term for general bad guy.
Yeah, bad guy that's doing things to try and ruin the world. Like, it's...
It's kind of like how in G.I. Joe, they say Cobra is an evil terrorist organization bent on taking over the world.
Yeah. Well, and it's like... And it's not like Doc Brown's helping them. He's like, yeah, I sold them a, you know, a faulty bomb with car parts or, you know, something like to that degree, mm-hmm. you know? So, I mean, it's, yeah, I just, I was like, when I saw that earlier today, I was like, why is it all of a sudden an issue that they had to take it out?
Yeah. I mean, of all the things you could possibly correct, really?
Yeah, I mean, there's so many other, like, things in it, like, I don't know, language that was so much worse than, you know, because they say... quite a few different things.
Yeah, I mean, and that movie's relatively pretty harmless, all things. I mean, that's a good movie you could show to, like, a grade 5 or 6 class, relatively uncensored.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, there's only a few words that are not really that safe for somebody under 10, but yeah, it's...
Yeah, exactly.
It's, yeah.
I would think the one thing...
I've still watched it in front of my kid.
Yeah. I would think the one thing, if somebody was going to be really anal about it, about taking curse words out, is Doc's multiple, damn.
Well, that's not even that bad.
Damn. No, I know it's not that bad, but I'm saying if you got someone who was really anal about curse words that would want to take anything out, it would probably be that.
It'd be that and where he's like, that guy's an asshole. That would have been about the only thing.
Yeah, that's really the only bad part. And it's not, it's like so brief that...
And I think he says, shit, maybe once.
Well, maybe I don't think he said that. I think Biff said it.
Hmm. Yeah.
But it gets covered up. It never hits the T. Like, it always was, like, purposely, like, skating that line.
Yeah.
He said, shit, and then it would just, like, cut out. Like...
Yep.
I don't know. I think that's kind of a waste of time of somebody's work. I mean, you know, this is coming down from on high, and you know, someone who has to do this is going, really? This is going to take me like a week, and this is so not worth my time.
Yeah, and then they have to export a high quality version of the video. What's going to take the computer forever to do? But it says that TBS did not respond to a request for comments. And then on this particular site, it says everybody go out and buy the old version and hard copy ASAP. It says, I bet any new digital or hard copies will probably have the same problem too. And then somebody said below that, I would argue that this is definite proof that you can change the past by time travel.
Mm-hmm.
Going back, changing a 1985 movie.
This, like, look. All right, so this is going to tie in nicely. Our buddy Movie Revolt Dan is doing a blog series on Geekcast Radio on the website calling Movies to Show My Son. he's done several ones. He lays out what he remembers about it, what lessons can be taught to his son from watching said movie, and what concerns he has about showing it to his son at whatever age he's going to show it to him as. And look, is any parent going to show their kid RoboCop at age 7? No.
My parents not did, but I turned out okay.
No, no, okay, but I'm saying today. I'm not saying when kids. I'm not saying when we were kids. I'm saying today. Is any parent going to show their 7, 8, 9, 10-year-old RoboCop in this day and age? Oh, hell no, they're not at all. But that's what I'm saying is movies going backwards, like if it's a movie that's a year old or so or whatever, sure, fine, do it. But well, a movie that's more than 10 years old.
Well, whatever happened to movies being an escape?
I know, right?
And now everybody has to sit there and like critically destroy the movie. Like, I mean, yeah, I mean, I have my opinion that
politics enter into it.
Well, yeah, I mean, like, you don't need the politically correctness or politics floating into it just because you have a certain perspective that you believe in. Like, I mean, I may not.
They're supposed to be an escape.
They're supposed to be an escape. You're just supposed to shut your brain off. You're supposed to watch it. You're supposed to decide whether you liked it or not. And then you just kind of leave it at that. Like, there's no... It doesn't have anything to do with politics. It doesn't have anything to do with politically correctness. It's just, that's the movie.
Well, you could make the argument that movies are art, which they definitely are.
I mean,
sometimes politics do enter into it, but at the same time, you're not going to look at a movie, once again, to go back to the example of RoboCop. Is there social satire there? Absolutely. Are you there for Robo-Jesus? Yes. Yes, you are. So it depends on what you want to walk away from it from. But, Steve, yeah, I'm with your mind. Take the politics out of it for the most part. Enjoy it for the entertainment value.
They're supposed to poke fun at society. They're not supposed to, like, they're poking fun at, like, the issues or the good or the bad in it. I mean, they're never, like, supposed to be so critically analyzed that they're supposed to just ruin it for you.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And that's what people have turned it into.
There's a time and a place for discussion.
Well, it's like people were getting mad about... Well, it's like people were getting mad about the Wonder Woman thing because she's an Amazonian and she didn't have armpit hair. Or she didn't have, you know, or the color of her armpits.
It just doesn't look cool.
And it's like people, it's a fictitious character.
Or the fact that she speaks with an accent because that's the way Gal Gadot is. And it's like, why is she going to put on a certain accent that isn't her own? Like, come on now.
You want the best performance, so let her give it.
I understand. Yeah, absolutely. I agree. But it's one of those things where do I want Gail's Wonder Woman to sound just like Susan Eisenberg's did in Justice League and Justice League Unlimited? No. I want it to be her own. I don't, you know, if they tell her, okay, we want this certain accent and she can do it, sure, great, fine. But, you know, Wonder Woman is not from the U.S., folks. She doesn't have to speak with an American accent.
Yeah, so I mean, it I don't know. It just really bothers me when I see that kind of junk jump into the movies. Like, yeah, I'm critical of some movies, and I say I don't like them because, you know, they may not hold up to the whatever the original incarnation was, which may be true, and usually is. But at the same time, that's just my opinion. And it doesn't necessarily, like, detract from what, you know, like, for instance, we just had that conversation about the Power Rangers movie. I didn't particularly care for it, but I didn't hate it either. And so, like, there were aspects I liked and there were aspects I didn't like. And, you know, Dodd, you liked the movie overall.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, like, again, I mean, it's finding common ground on it and not learning to attack each other's opinion. And that's kind of what films have gotten to be anymore.
Yeah, it's basically... Movies are all politicking now, and it's taken some of the fun out of going to the movies now.
It's taken the fun out of, like, everything, pretty much, like, media-wise, because there's always somebody critically analyzing it because they get butt hurt and can't get over it.
I honestly can say I do not remember the last movie I went to the theater and saw.
Ghostbusters was mine. Last one I saw in theaters.
I mean, I really don't. Might have been Fast 7, maybe, but I don't go to the movies anymore. I can wait, or I can see it other
ways. Yeah, I typically wait, or I'll use my, like, press credentials to see it at home.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I particularly don't care to, really go to the theater anymore because, one, you usually have that one person that's, like, rustling the bags and making a big ruckus while they're trying to dig through on their, like, food that they brought in.
Mm-hmm.
And where they sit there and they talk. And then the last movie we went, mind you, it was like, I think we went and saw The Shack, my wife and I did. It was the last time I went to the theater. I probably will be, the next time I go to the theater will probably be during one episode Star Wars. 8. Yeah. Everything else I'll probably see when I see it at home. But that was the last movie I went and saw, and there was this one person that they were on their phone like for 10 minutes during the movie. I was like, you got to be kidding me.
We talked about this on, oh my God, it's so funny you're bringing this up. We talked about this a couple of weeks ago on Nerd News about the guy who sued his date for texting during Guardians of the Galaxy.
That's funny, actually. You ruined it. I couldn't watch the world end.
See, I check my phone during the movies, but I always turn down my brightness, and if I can't resolve it within 5 seconds, it's not that important.
Well, see, I don't even answer my phone in the theater. If they text,
I won't answer it, but I'll check stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I'll check stuff. If somebody texts me and says, hey, you know, need call ASAP, then, you know, that's one thing. But, like, if they don't, then I'll respond in text and say, I'll catch you in an hour and a half or 2 hours, so. But yeah, now that we've kind of sunk that boat, We need a bigger boat. Animaniacs reboot is being developed by Steven Spielberg, Amblin TV, and Warner Brothers.
The original voice cast, I'm all in.
Yep.
The first and only thing I will say about this topic is until I see Tom Ruger, who is the executive producer, who is listed as co-creator of it, until I see him on Facebook post that it's actually happening, I do not believe that this is going to happen.
It's everywhere, dude. I
know it's everywhere, and that's fine. They'll have
a panel at Comic-Con you watch.
And that's fine if there's going to be a panel at Comic-Con, and that's news. But the fact that this kind of came out of, oh, well, Steven Spielberg wants to redo it or wants to reboot it, until I see an actual press release of it actually happening, I'm not going to believe it.
Well, either way, Steven Spielberg, I would believe over anything anyways. If they're going to do this, they need to bring back, like, you know, Pinky and the Brain. They need to bring back the, you know, Yakko Wakko Dot and Dr. Scratch and Sniff.
Now, here's the thing.
And they need the original voice cast.
Now, here's the thing. If they're going to reboot it, would you rather have it be the Adult Swim style?
No.
Or would you still want it to be all ages with some jokes for us?
All ages with some jokes for us, yeah.
I don't want the Ren and Stimpy renovation to a show.
No.
If they had it a little more close to Rick and Morty, I might be okay. But no. All ages would be preferred. But if they went a little raunchier, a little, not much.
How it was already raunchy.
Yeah, I'm gonna say. I mean, how can you get more fingerprints? Raunchy? Yeah, like fingerprints. No, you can't get more raunchy than that.
I think they could. I mean, if you really want to push the envelope with it, but yeah, I don't want Ren and Stimpy.
Or like they did the planets of the universe, and then Wacko's like, what about Uranus?
Good night, everybody.
Yeah, I guess part of the charm was being able to have humor for everybody.
Well, and yeah, see, the thing is they disguised it well enough, it got past the censors.
Yeah.
Which was the big joke of Tiny Toons.
Play with that now. The censors are way too anal.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I mean, I'm all for if they reboot it with, you know, Tom Ruger and the original voice cast and having the original songs and music because that was...
As long as the writing is top-notch, too.
I'd like preferably to see everyone that had something to do with why it was great return.
Yeah. Or people we know that are great now.
Yeah. And so
I'd love to see Dan Harmon contribute to it or some of the people who write on MST3K maybe. But ultimately, yeah, bring back the original writers if they're still writing or bring back people you know that can write really good comedy.
Yep.
So
either way, I'm down.
I'm down with it too. Also in the animation realm, so Dragon Ball Super has had its first female Super Saiyan.
Yes, which I have thought not, was kind of cool.
I have not seen that yet, but I have seen the image and looks interesting.
Yeah, she's basically Broly, but with boobs, and I'm okay with this. Because Broly wasn't technically canon, but because he happened only in the movies. But still, I'm excited for this. Dragon Ball Super, it's been a lot of up and down from what I've watched of it. I'm watching some of it on the Funimation site. I'm also watching some of it when it comes up on YouTube when it's subtitled literally that day. So my knowledge of the story is pretty much pieced together with duct tape and tube crackers at this point.
The beginning of it is pretty much the movie where Lord Beerus fights Goku.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all I've seen so far of what they've chopped up, and like maybe a little bit more. But I'm still waiting to see where they've dubbed the rest of it. I'm looking forward to seeing what they do with this. I think it's funny that the character's name is Cauliflower. Like cauliflower. I love how they keep with the vegetable theme for all of the characters' names.
Yeah, I've always thought their naming schemes have almost always been really, really clever.
You get the Namekians are generally like musical instruments. You get the Saiyans that are typically a vegetable of some kind. And then you've got.
I never thought the most badass name would be Vegeta, and it's literally a ripoff of vegetable.
Yep.
Never thought.
Yep.
A day of my life that'd be so badass.
Or like Piccolo is the actual Piccolo, and then Kakarot is carrot.
Kakarot carrot, yeah. Like, geez, or Nappa's a type of lettuce. Like, I know. Geez, guys, that's so clever.
I mean, it's actually kind of ingenious. They just shortened. Different vegetable names to come up with the characters, and like Bulma and Chi-Chi are actually, they mean other stuff.
I think they're like underwear. Or
underwear. Underwear. Yeah.
And then there's Pan, and there's Bra.
And then Mr. Briefs.
Stuff like that.
Most of Bulma's family is named after a kind of underwear or bottom cover.
It's so stupid, and yet the action on that show is about as manly as you could possibly get.
I know, it's one of my favorite...
To the point of absurdity.
It's my favorite anime, so it's actually kind of funny, but I have this guide that actually had all of the information about the characters, like where their names came from. It's just funny. And I saw this actually a funny graphic, and it had to do with everybody turning Super Saiyan. And it says, Goku, it says, I did it to protect. Vegeta says, I did it to never be left behind. Gohan says, I did it to end the violence. Trunks says, I did it to bring a better future. And then it's got young Trunks and Goten. And it says, we did it for the lols.
I love them as young characters.
Yeah, it's just funny. I had to bring that up because I think it's kind of an interesting development that they did that. And then of course there's this Alexa type robot thing called Woogie that I heard about today. Mm-hmm. Which is supposed to be like a proactive conversational robot that keeps your child engaged in their learning. Which essentially makes me think that it's a parent replacement tool.
That's kind of what I was thinking. The second you mentioned that, say, why wouldn't you just talk to your kid and have a robot do it?
And that's kind of what I was hearing on the radio today, too, is because it's got an AI component that gives your children a personalized learning experience. And it says the more your child talks to Woogie, the smarter he becomes. And it's like, well, yeah, I can talk to my kid too, and he gets smarter just by listening to me. So, like, just the whole concept, I'm like, oh, okay, so you're trying to replace me with a robot. Like, I don't know where I... Because it says you can get, oh, games, quizzes, riddles, interactive stories, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, yeah, I can read him a book and I can play Legos with him and do the same exact thing. Like, like I'm attempting to teach my kid how to count and how to build creations that won't fall apart by doing Legos. And he's grasping the concept and getting really good at it. But like, to me, like doing a little interactive thing like this, my kid would not only get bored of it, he would chuck it across the room. I don't know how I feel about a robot trying to replace me.
I don't know how I feel about Skynet raising the next generation. So, no.
Yeah, this teacher would be even more dependent on electronics. This generation after us already stares at their phones more than we do. And we weren't even raised with it. We just kind of, as we became adults, it was like the norm then. And we're like, ooh, electronic, shiny stuff. And crickets.
Sorry, kind of gasped for a second.
Yeah, I'm too engrossed in the fact that the Starbucks guy who hated the rainbow cups is back complaining about the McDonald's fry boxes.
What, they have the Did they do the
rainbow fry boxes just on the back of the box? It's one section. It's the back of the large fry box. It's only for one weekend, this coming weekend, which is the gay pride celebration and the national. The rainbow fry boxes are a fun way to show our support of the LGBTQ community. Yes.
Whatever.
Yeah. Using one of McDonald's most iconic and recognizable items. However, these fry boxes are small potatoes in the grand scheme of our commitment to this community. They'll only be available this weekend to honor both the Pride Parade and Sunday's National Equality March.
So basically what you're saying is if you don't like the gay parade, don't buy French fries on the weekend?
Well, what I'm saying is that...
Or ask for it in a paper bag?
Yeah. Well... No, the headline of the article is McDonald's debuts rainbow fry boxes for DC Pride, and that Starbucks guy is pissed because at the bottom of the article it says Joshua Feuerstein, the former televangelist who flipped out over Starbucks' plain white holiday cup, is up to his old tricks. Another fast food franchise has gone gay. Disgusting. McDonald's released their rainbow fries today in honor of gay pride, Feuerstein shouted on his Facebook page. I'm tired of corporations trying to influence our families like this. Share this and let people know to stop eating at McDonald's. Plus, their food is crap, really.
Man, of all the things this guy can get pissed about, Jesus.
I know.
Well, like,
I mean,
I'm...
2017, it's never been more accepted than it has been at any other time in history. Dude, you've lost. Get over it.
Well, it's my personal opinion. I don't have anything against them. I don't support it. It's not something I believe in. But, like, you know, if that's what they believe, then, you know, good for them. Like, so... But I'm not going to sit there...
You don't believe in gay people or what?
No, I don't... It's not even necessarily that. I'm just saying I don't support it. But I'm not saying that... I have any problem with the people that are.
Okay.
Because that's a personal choice. That's, you know.
I love how your press secretary, Sean Spicy, or Spicy himself, says, a select amount of people knows exactly what the president meant. You mean a typo? It's okay. People make mistakes. Mm-hmm. It was meant to say coverage, not kofifi. It sounds like a wicked cup of coffee or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But, man, the best part about that was how quickly the internet grabbed a hold of that.
Yep.
Like, there was, like, Kofifi the Barbarian and Kofifi the Wizard. It was ridiculous. It was like, you've summoned me? Like, yes, we have a great orb in the Middle East which must be captured. And it was just so... It was ridiculous. It went on for, like, 12 hours. People just making these Kofifi memes.
It went on for, like, 2 days.
It was ridiculous. I couldn't believe how funny some of them were, too. You know, at some point, some video game developer is using that as a cheat code to a game that's like God mode or something.
It'll be the next Duke Nukem game.
That would be
It'll be the next Konami code up, up, down, down.
I think that'd be so funny if someone did that. I think that'd be great because it's easy to remember. You could almost type that in on like an old style controller.
Oh my god.
I want Kufifi. Unlimited ammo. Or maybe, oh my god, you know what you could do? There are certain codes in games which turns the game's dialogue stupid. If you turned on Kofifi mode, he speaks only in Trumpisms.
Oh no.
So anyways, kind of sidestepping that, talking about something that has to do with Russians. Battlefield 1 has a new expansion coming out. And it's going to have a female character to choose from.
Oh!
Yeah. It's the expansion is called In the Name of the Tsar. This is the first Russian Women's Battalion of Death represented by the Russian Scout class. And it's one of the several all-female Russian units formed in the wake of the February Revolution that saw the overthrow of Tsar Nicholas II, last emperor of Russia, for the 1917. So it's that's a little interesting. And then the other aspect about Battlefield 1 is EA's announced that Premium Friends is a new feature that enables Battlefield 1 Premium Pass owners to play pass-exclusive multiplayer maps with their non-pass-owning pals. And it's going through another round of testing this weekend. EA plans to reveal more information during the pre-EA EA Play event, or E3 EA Play event, which is kind of cool. Because, I mean, I have Premium Pass, but that means that if somebody doesn't have it, they can still play the game with me.
For the main Niko Bellic story, computer kept telling me that was not compatible.
It was probably for a 32-bit system.
Yeah.
In which case, you'd have to download the newest version, because I had that same problem with my Command & Conquer games.
Mm-hmm.
I had to wait until EA had them on sale, and then I bought all of them. I bought the entire collection for like $5.
I mean, like, I can still play, like I said, I can play the main Grand Theft Auto game, and that's fine. But one of the reasons why I wanted to buy it on Steam was so I could play the parts of the game that I had never played before.
You need to play Grand Theft Auto 5, man.
Yeah, I know. At some point.
One of the best games I've ever played. Speaking of video games, I forgot to bring this up a long time ago. Steve, did you ever beat The Walking Dead? Do I owe you $20?
No.
Well, I'm a richer man for having $20. Which I still have to do that thing with Blanchard when money allows it, but
yeah, I'm not in any rush, so you can just save up.
You'll get hungry one day.
I am in no rush.
Your only savior will be Harry Potter.
No. I would rather gnaw off my own arm.
Soon.
No. No. Nope.
Actually, I don't think the Altered Geek listeners know about this.
Oh, God.
So, in a nutshell, Mike has refused for years to watch the Harry Potter movies, and that's okay.
Really?
But I want to challenge. Yeah, so I want to challenge guys. That's $80. That's not cheap.
No, it's not, and I will do it eventually. But that's the thing. It's like, and the reason why I've never watched the movies is because I've just had no interest in watching them. You know, I've told this story before, and I think I could have sworn we talked about this part of it on.
Only to read the Game of Thrones books, but I have the audio books. But even so, that's a 30-hour slog, whereas I suppose I can watch a season and get 10 hours, and I get the basic gist of what's going on, and I'm still entertained as hell. So maybe that's almost a topic for one day here on Altered Geek. Talk about books versus movies and cultural importance, because you don't see many people talking about Lord of the Rings these days, but those books are still wrote, and I think J.R.R. Tolkien just put out a new book, like 100 years after his death or something. It was an unfinished book that I guess they just found or something.
Well, his grandson finished it.
Yeah. So I'd be very curious to talk about that, because you look at books and movies that are culturally important, and I think Harry Potter definitely enters into the conversation. In terms of fantasy, is Game of Thrones going to be important? I want to say yes, I can see others saying no, but in terms of what A Song in Ice and Fire has accomplished, I don't know. It does add a lot to the fantasy genre, but then again, I'm more sci-fi than I am fantasy. You'd have to ask someone like Ryan, The Uneven Flow, to explain it more, because he's read them. Whereas I've only read The Hobbit from Tolkien and Lord of the Rings, but I've seen all the movies, with the exception of the Hobbit trilogy. So, I don't know. That's almost something there to talk about, because there's a lot of things that get lost in translation, because, hell, even The Godfather was based upon a book by Mario Puzo, and a lot of people, I think, if I'm remembering correctly, say the movie's better than the book. So, I don't know. There's a conversation for us at some point. I'd love to hear what our listeners think. What movie's better than the book, or what do you think is culturally relevant? Because there may be some real gems out there. Stuff that I've never heard of, that's for sure. And I'm not afraid to admit that I am ignorant of what I do not know. And I always want to know more. So please, if you know something that I don't, tell me.
McFarlane Toys.
It'll only help us grow.
McFarlane Toys to make Star Trek Discovery merchandise.
So they're going to be making STDs. Yay!
I've got such a fear for Star Trek Discovery.
Rian Wilson, who's going to be playing Harry Mudd, is going to be in 9 episodes of the series.
That's almost every single episode, isn't it?
Pretty much. There's like 13. It'll have an after show.
It'll have an after show hosted by Chris Hardwick, and it'll be called Talking Trek.
I don't know how I feel about that, because I think some shows benefit from having the after show. Trek, I kind of wonder if it'll just get bogged down in little details, whereas Walking and Talking Dead and all that have the intensity. I don't see us getting the intensity from Star Trek Discovery as opposed to, say, a character death on Walking Dead. You know what I mean? It seems very episodic. Whereas Walking Dead can easily have an unemotional episode week to week, which it hasn't, because even I've fallen out of this season.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Hell, there's another show for us to talk about. Walking Dead, the comics versus the show. The show has certainly gotten slow.
Yeah, I don't watch either.
I gave up. Me and my wife, Blair, kind of gave up halfway through season 7. Because nothing was happening, and it was all, it just became too much, I think, after a while.
I know the main plot of Walking Dead has nothing to do with zombies, but I know there are zombies in that show, and I just don't care. I have never seen the show. I have no interest in the show whatsoever.
You also said the same thing about Breaking Bad, too.
Well, that's a little different than the fact that there are zombies and I don't care about zombies. The Breaking Bad thing is a little bit different than
all
that.
I'm ever saying to you is be willing to expand your horizons.
Nope, I don't do horror.
So, guys, please email us and give us feedback, because, like I said, I'd love to hear what you guys think about some of the things that we've talked about tonight, ranging from more serious topics to the absurd. So from cultural censorship to Covfefe to what's something better than the book or the movie, let us know. And Steve, what's that address for feedback?
feedback@alteredgeek.com.
So talk to us on Twitter. You can reach the three of us. I'm at Birdman Dodd. So definitely thanks to, what was it? What was his Twitter handle?
Scanner51.
Scanner51. Be sure to respond to me at Birdman Dodd. I'm literally awake all the time, so And if people wanted to get a hold of you, Steve?
At SCP-21.
And I am at TFG and Mike.
So, yay!
So, until next time, get altered geeky with the Altered Geeks.